Okay. So, 今日の話はその前の続きですけど、その、目視とイナゴというテーマでした。まず英語で話します。So, today's topic, as we did 2 weeks ago, is on locusts and the book of Revelation. Let's begin. Just to very briefly cap what we did last time, what I'm attempting to do here is use a principle of study called light to heavy, which the Jews use. That is to say, when you find a pattern in the scripture, you can find that the same pattern occurs in a simple, light, day-to-day situation. It occurs in a heavy situation, and then it occurs in a very heavy situation. And we can take the same principles and apply one to the other and see how they reflect truths in different situations. Sometimes something is clear in one context but not clear in another context, or we may not recognize something as being what it is, but when we put them together, it sheds light on it. So I'm hoping that what the purpose is in today's topic anyway is to kind of shed light not only on what's happening in the book of Revelation, but also just on the wisdom of God and the reality of the nature of man, so that we can understand ourselves. And then, hopefully, in the last part, I'd like to apply it to ourselves, how we can take this truth and live it today. Okay, so the three patterns that I'm particularly looking at this point, the first one is the ultimate one, and that is the plagues of Revelation. We saw last time that the plagues of Revelation in chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11 very closely correspond to the ones in chapter 16. So I'm assuming, for want of better knowledge, that they are different aspects of the same judgments in the book of Revelation. In the end, they may end up being separate, but anyway, we can see that the 1 to 7 follow the very same pattern. At the same time, the various things that happen to Jesus on the cross, as the wrath of God is poured out upon the world because of sin, the wrath of God the Father was poured out upon the Son instead of us when he was on the cross. Cursed is he who hangs on a tree. He was cursed for us when he died on the cross. So those things which we should receive is judgment, Christ has already received for us. And then, ultimately, the death of our old self. That's the light. The death of our old self and the resurrection. That's the day-to-day pattern. So, first of all, we noticed that there were seven things in Revelation. And the one that we focused on was the fifth. And the fifth the fifth trumpet was a plague of locusts, which came out of the bottomless pit, and with them smoke came out, and it covered the world with darkness. In Revelation 16, the same fifth vial which was poured out upon the world also was poured out upon the throne of the beast, and it brought darkness upon the world, and men gnawed their tongues because of the pain of their sores. This, when Christ was on the cross, the other things had a fairly clear link, but this one seems to reflect just the unleashed hatred that was, and mocking and scorn that the people of the world poured out upon Christ. Obviously, there was darkness over the face of the earth, or at least that area of the earth when he was on the cross. But the idea is it's reflecting the horror of the state of man. So basically, the point of all this is a judgment upon man which unleashes the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit, when it's opened up, all hell breaks loose, okay, so to speak. And so, in the end, what happens is man's evil will be unleashed, and the world and society and our families and our lives, just like these locusts come out and wreak havoc upon the earth, so sin, when it's unleashed, has the same effect in our life. Okay, So that's kind of what we talked about last week as a background to this. So now I'd like to go into some of the specifics of it. So first of all, let's turn to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Okay. All right, and we'll read verse 11. Revelation 9:11. Revelation chapter 9 verse 11 says, they have, talking about the scorpions, the locusts, they have a king over them, the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Okay, so one is a Hebrew word and the other one is a Greek word, both of them meaning the destroyer, the one who destroys or brings to destruction. The bottomless pit, okay? These creatures come out of the bottomless pit. In chapter 9, verse 2, it says, he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit, the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. And then these locusts come out of the pit. But we see in verse 11, they have his king over them, the angel of the abyss, and his name is the destroyer. That's Satan, okay? Satan has authority over the pit. If you look at Revelation chapter 12, again, we see that the tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, and they threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, and when she gave birth, that he might devour her child. And then it goes on again in verse 9, chapter 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So the devil is cast down, and the angels follow with him. A star falls to the earth and the other stars fall with him. They're just pictures of the same event. So Satan comes to the earth in some way. He's revealed in some way. And his angels are revealed also. So comparing that with Revelation chapter 9, we see all of these demonic creatures suddenly released upon the earth. So this is probably those third of the angels that have been cast out from heaven, I would imagine. Nevertheless, Satan is the one who comes out of the bottomless pit. Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, it says, when they finish their testimony, the beast that comes out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. So the beast, the Antichrist, also comes out of the bottomless pit. Okay? Again, we can have a look at another one. This one is in Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17, and verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast, that he was and is not and will come. So again, we see that the beast, the devil, these demonic things, whatever they are, come out of the bottomless pit. So what is this bottomless pit? Well, in Greek, the word is abyss, or in English we say abyss, but abyss in Greek is the word abyssos. A is the negative, so A, and busos is a word which means pit, or depth, actually. The idea is that no depth, it's depthless. In other words, its depth cannot be measured. The word abyssos, I'm just going to do a very quick word study here. We see this word in Luke chapter 8:31. The demons pleaded with Jesus not to send them into the abyss. Okay, so it's obviously a place of demons, but it means bottomless. no depth beyond measure. The depth is beyond measure. Also in Romans chapter 10 verse 7 it's described, don't say who will ascend into heaven or who will descend into the abyss, that is to raise up Christ from the dead. So the abyss is the deep place where the dead are. Okay, but the word comes from the word buthos, which means the deep. Paul said he spent a day and a night in the deep. But that word also is rooted in the word bathos. It's getting a bit similar to the word bath now. Okay. A bath. And bath means deep. It means a mystery. But it's also something which is profound. Something that's very, very deep and difficult to understand. Romans 11:33 said, "Oh, the mystery, the depth of the wisdom of God." The depth of God. It's how can we understand? It's so deep. The deep things of God are revealed by the Spirit. He who searches the Spirit searches the deep things of God. God's ways are deep. They're beyond comprehension. It's also used in Revelation 2:24 for the depths of Satan. So there is a depth of evil on the, that is so beyond it's beyond fathomable. I mean, fathom, what is a fathom? It's a way to measure the depth of a ship, right? You drop an anchor with a lead ball, how many fathoms it goes down, how many arms lengths or whatever it goes down, that's how you measure the depth. But it's beyond understanding. So the idea is these things come out of that which is beyond understanding. It's so deep. That comes from the word bathus, which is the word used in John 4, where the woman at the well says, "Where will you get this living water? Because the well is deep." So salvation, the origin of the living water, also comes from a mysterious place. It's something that we can't easily understand. And finally, that bathus is the origin of the word basis, and that's the root. So you finally get to the word base, or basis, which means foot. In Acts chapter 3, verse 7, when Peter and John prayed for that man, the first thing that happened was his ankles, his basis was strengthened, and then he was able to get up, and then he was able to walk. So that in the deep places, the work of salvation began, in that very deep place, but then it was revealed as the rest of his body was strengthened. So when God brings a person to salvation, he starts off in the deep places, but then it works itself out. So that's just an idea, the bottomless pit. The place where the demons are, the place where the devil has authority and rule. Obviously, this is not the lake of fire, by the way. The devil is not yet in the lake of fire, neither is the beast or the Antichrist or anyone, as far as I understand. He's not yet in that place, Gehenna. But death, certainly. There are people in Hades. And this bottomless pit, this depth, this place which is so wicked, so horrible, we can't understand it. That is where the devil comes from. Now, when we consider this word, the bottomless pit, the depths of Satan, the locusts come forth from the bottomless pit, resulting in sin, it is a picture of something else which is very deep. And that, of course, is the heart of man. Okay, let's have a look at Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. And once we get this scripture, then you'll probably see what I'm getting at. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says that the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Who can know it? Who can know it? The idea of the bottomless pit is it cannot be known. It cannot be measured. So the same is said of the heart of man. Who can know it? It's more deceitful than anything. It's lying. We deceive ourselves. It's desperately sick, far beyond what we can even imagine. And God says in the next verse, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, and I give to each one according to his ways." So those whose hearts are desperately wicked will receive according to their ways at the end of the world. Therefore, from the bottomless pit, all hell breaks loose as a judgment upon those who are happy to have all evil dwell within their heart. The heart of man is, in a sense, the bottomless pit. It's not the ultimate bottomless pit, of course, but it is a bottomless pit in the character of the ultimate one. And that was released when Christ was crucified, and hence man committed his greatest crime of all history in killing the Messiah. And those people who stood around the cross scorning were reflecting the evil which comes out of the heart of man when it's revealed. Okay. Look at Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, just as the bottomless pit is the result of evil, look at Mark chapter 7, we see the same thing is said about the heart. 7 verses 20 to 23. It says here, and he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts. Notice the evil thoughts there. Fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. So the origin of all of the trouble in our life is the sin which is in our heart. Well, look at Revelation chapter 9 for a second. If we go back to Revelation chapter 9, what happens in this fifth seal? In verse 1, again 1 to 3, then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven, which had fallen to the earth, that's the devil, I suppose, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He's got permission now to release all of his angels. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Light, reason, disappears with the unleashing of this sin. And out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, if you go to the end of the chapter here, verse 20, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, not just the sixth plague, but also the fifth and the others, did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons, the idols of gold and silver, and of brass and of stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they didn't repent of their murders, of their sorceries, of their immoralities, nor of their thefts. So just as Jesus said, from the heart can come murders, sorceries, immoralities, theft, deceit, envy, slander. What's going to happen at the end of the age is just as what happens in the heart of man, it's going to be revealed over the whole world. The world is going to get a taste of what is in the heart of man. That's why the fifth trumpet. That's why the fifth vial. Why does God do this? He's showing us, just as he promised to do in Jeremiah 17, he's saying, I search the heart. I know what it's like, and I'm going to give you according to your ways. The one who knows how evil the heart of man is will demonstrate the evil wickedness of the heart by allowing the evil of the heart to become unleashed at the end. And these demons, I don't think demons act outside of people. The demons acted within. They want to be in a person or in a pig or something. They don't want to be just cast into the depth. They want to be in something. The devil comes and possesses the Antichrist. He's the beast. So these evil spirits, they want something to reflect themselves in. Who are they going to choose? Well, I've no doubt it will be people. And so people's evil will be unleashed in the end times. And what will happen at the end is simply what is in the heart of man. The bottomless pit of hell will be unleashed, so in the same way the bottomless pit of that man's heart will be unleashed, and we'll get a taste of what we're really like. But the truth is, that's what you're really like now. That's what I'm really like now, and that's something that we need to understand. what is within us is all the evil of hell. That's what Jesus said. From the heart of man proceeds all of this wickedness. We'll get back to that in a little while. Okay. じゃあ、日本語で訳します。そして、先週話した内容ですけど、ヘブライの読み方では、軽いから重いという解釈法があります。それは軽い状態で ある模範は模様は重い辛い時でも特になおさらに当てはまる。だからその時でもあることは大変な時でもなおさらにその同じ模様が現れる。まあ先週はその黙示の、災いとイエス様が受けた十字架上で受けた災いと、まあ、私たちの中にあるもの、それはその三つの状態で、三つの状態で同じパターンがあります。最終的な災い、それは神様の怒りがこのように降り注がれる。それは私たちの代わりにイエス様はその同じ怒りを私たちの代わりに受けました。しかし今私たちも自分の内なる人間は死ぬなければならない。そして新しい人が蘇らなければならないので、まあ、日常的に私たちはそういうイエス様の死と復活を自分で経験します。そしてまず黙示16章と黙示8章から11章では7つの8、そして7つのラッパが降り注がれたり吹かれたりしてます。まあ、1は1に当てはまる、2は2、3の3、4は4、そして5 の、 5つ目の、8と5つ目のラッパは同じ原則があります。それは暗闇が含まれている。それは16章では獣の国が裁かれる。しかし5つ目のラッパでは獣がいる底知らぬ穴が開かれる。そしてあらゆる悪が できました。そしてその悪はこの世を滅びます。まあ一つの災いで滅びます。イエス様の十字架の割に人の罪が公に現れました。そして預けりごととかイエス様を侮辱する冒涜したり侮辱したり、そのようにイエス様に対する私たちの人間の痛み、痛みじゃなくて痛みか、ね、痛み嫌うことそれがイエス様に降り注がれた。終わりの日に同じ原則があります。神様はその第5のラッパ、その第5の8で人間の悪をいきなり現れる。そしてその今止めているロック塔を開けていきなり人間の悪が現れるということ。そしてじゃあそれは先週に話しましたけど、まず黙示の、一節、すみません、九章の一節を黙示 is revelation by the way 黙示九章の一節、第五の御使いがラッパを吹き鳴らした。すると私は一つの星が天から地上に落ちるのを見た。その星には底知れぬ穴 を開く鍵が与えられた。比べてみますと、12章で、3節、また別の印、天に現れた、が天に現れた。見よ、大きな赤い竜である7つの頭と10本の角とお持ち、その頭には7つの冠がかぶっていた。その王は天の星の3分の1を引き寄せると、それらを地上に投げたということ。まあサタンということです。そしてまた、9節、こうしてこの巨大な竜、すなわち悪魔とかサタンと呼ばれて、世界、全世界を惑わす古い蛇は投げ落とされたということ。彼は地上に投げ落とされ、彼の使いどもも彼と共に投げ落とされた。星が天から落ちた。で、あと3分の1の星が天から落ちた。竜が天から落ちた。そして7つの、彼の使い、悪い天使と言えるでしょう、が天から落とされた。そして黙示9章1節では、その、天から落ちた星には底知れぬ穴を開くその鍵が渡された。そしてそれによって、このイナゴみたいな悪霊、おそらくその十二章に出てきたその、竜の使いが現れます。そしてこれは悪霊的なもの、彼らは現れて地上にあらゆる悪をもたらします、ということ。 OK、底知らぬ穴という言葉をちょっと考えてみましょう。底知れぬ穴は何でしょう。それはギリシャ語でアビソスという深いところです。深いところ。しかしは否定的、否定の言葉の頭につけるものです。それは無とか不とかないとか、そういう意味で、その後半はブーソスは深い。目次2章24節では同じ言葉がこの文脈で使われます。しかしテアタラにいる人たちの中でこの教えを受け入れておらず、彼らの言うサタンの深いところをまだ知っていないあなた方をに言う。サタンの深いところ、それは何でしょう。それは魔術とかそういう魔法とか、サタンの深いところでしょうか。荒らす意味べきそういうものじゃないかと思います。多分占い、そういう感じです。呪いをかけること、サタンの深いところ、その底知らぬところはサタンのところです。しかし同じ言葉が神様に対して使われています。それはローマ10章の7節、ローマ10章7節ではこのように言われます。すみません、あれじゃなくて、ごめんなさい、ローマ11章33節でした。ごめんなさい、11章33節、神の知恵と知識との富はなんと底知れず深いことでしょう。測ることのできない深いほど深いところということ、測り得ないという、測り知る、なんと測り知りたが、がたいことでしょうと書いています。測ることのできない それだけ神様はあれほど知識を持っている、あれほど知識深い、あれほど素晴らしいけど、逆にサタンは私たちが測ることのできないほど邪悪なもの、本当に悪い、本当に嘘をつく、本当にひどい、想像できないほど測ることのできないほどサタンはひどいということ、深いということ。まあそのアビソス の言葉の語源はバトス、それは、海、深い海ということ。パウルはその海でなんという言葉だった、忘れた流されという言葉でした。漢字が覚えてるけど読み方が忘れた漂う。そしてその言語はバトス、お風呂かなバトス、深いということ。そしてその言語はベーシスは土台ということ、一番下、土台がないほど深いということ。 A アビソス、神様の働きは私たちに対して一番深いところから始まる。使徒三章七節、ペトロとヨハネは足苗の人のために祈った時に、彼はまずベーシス、その足が強められた。そして彼は立ち上がってついに飛んだり神様を賛美しました。まず救いはその深いところ、誰も測ることができないところから始まる。誰か救われるときにそれは分析できない、神様しか知らない深い心の深いところで神様の救いの働きは始まる。やがってそれが現れるということ。逆に今はサタンのことを言っています。サタンはどれほどひどいでしょう、わからない、測ることができない。そして実は私たちもそれぐらいひどいということはポイント。なぜかというと深いところは獣が出てくるところ、黙示11章7節では獣がその深い底知れぬ穴から出てきます。出てきた箇所はごめんなさい、11章の7節。そして彼らが証しを終えると即知れぬところから登ってくる獣が彼らと戦って勝ち彼を殺す。その獣はサタンが人間を使っているというものです。だから人間は結局測ることのできないほどひどい。しかしそれは人間、獣という人間だけではなくて、実は私たちも同じぐらい邪悪。なんでかというと、その結果を見ましょう。黙示9章の一番最後のところを見ると20節と21節、これらの災い、それも第5の災いも含まれてますけど、これらの災いによって殺されずに残った人々はその手の技を食い改めないで、悪霊どもや金銀銅石器で作られた見ることのも聞くことも歩くこともできない偶像を拝み続け、そして21節、その殺人、その魔術、その不貧困や盗みを食い止めなかった。結局、人の罪が現れる。ひどい罪がそのまま現れます。即知れぬ穴が開かれると、人間の 悪が結局出てきます。そしてあのイエス様はあのマタイ15章で同じように言いました、まあ、マルクもありますけど今度は15章を見てみましょう。マタイあの15章の18から20、マタイ15章の18から20、ここね、しかし口から出るものは心から出てきます。それは人がを怪我します。悪い考え、殺人、姦淫、不貧困、盗み、偽証、罵りは心から出てくるからです。これは人を怪我するものです。しかしあの洗わない手で食べることは人を怪我しませんということだから、人間の中にその悪はある。じゃあそこ知れぬものは何でしょう。サタンが出てくる、あるいる悪が出てくる底知れぬものは何でしょう。それは実は人間の心です。人間の心、あのエレミア17章でもそのままあの教えています。その通りを知っています。あの、エレミア17章9節は、人の心は何よりも陰険で、それは治れない。誰が それを知ることができよう。知ることのできる、できないほど、あの、悪。私は、神様だけが知る。私は、私、主が心を探り、思いを調べ、それぞれその生き方により、行いの結び目によって報いる。そして黙示の5章、第5のラパと16章の第5の、8はやっと解くことができましたと思います。あの人の底知れぬ心から常に人を怪我している悪が常に出てきています。しかし神様はそれをどのように裁くでしょう。終わりの日に、ここで書いてある通りに、その生き方により行いの実を結ぶ実によって報いる。神様はあのその底知れぬ穴を開けて、あのサタンの悪霊をいきなり生かして離して、そしてあの人の悪が完全に現れるようになります。終わりの日に人の心の本質が出てきますということ。私たちの心は地獄ですということ。私たちの心の中には地獄、から出てくる悪と同じものです。はい、Okay. Okay, so what we've established therefore there is that God, because of Jeremiah 17, he said, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Who can know the bottomless pit of man's evil in his heart? Therefore, God says, I know, God of course knows, he searches the heart, and he said, I'm going to examine your mind and reward each person according to their conduct. That's what happens at the end times. That's why there's the fifth trumpet. That's why there's the fifth vial. Because God, who knows the depth of the heart and the evil which is in it, he's going to show us. He's going to reveal it. And then it's going to be a final judgment upon people. Well, now that we've established that, I want to go and look at some of the details of the fifth trumpet so that we can apply it back to ourselves. So let's begin with Revelation chapter 9. Okay, Revelation chapter we won't begin there. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11 verse 7. Revelation 11 7. I'll be repeating a few scriptures, of course, but it's only just to keep us on the right track. I know we've already read it, but I'll read it again. Revelation 11:7 says, "When they, the two witnesses, finish their testimony, the beast that comes out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them." Who comes out of the abyss? The beast. So, now, look at Revelation chapter 16. Revelation 16:10, it says, "The judgment, the fifth vial, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds." Okay, so what is the result? The beast is in the bottomless pit, but it's called the kingdom of the beast, which is judged. But what does that say about our hearts? What's in our heart? All the evil of hell. All the evil of hell is in our heart. His throne is in our heart. If we're an unbeliever, of course, or even if we're a believer, it was like that and still is if we allow it to be. Evil is enthroned in the heart of an unbeliever. The Antichrist rules in the heart of an unbeliever. It's not, you know, Mrs. Whatever, the nice lady next door. It's the kingdom of the Antichrist. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. Well, the same in terms of an unbeliever is the kingdom of the devil. The kingdom of Antichrist is within you. Well, the kingdom of God is within you and you just don't know it. It hasn't been fully revealed yet. The great things God's going to do through you, the great change God will make in your life, the way God will show his glory through you, it hasn't yet been revealed. But in the same way, we can say it the opposite. The kingdom of the devil is within those who don't believe. I won't say you, because I don't want you to think that it's you, if you're a believer, by the way. But if you're not a believer, the kingdom of the devil is within you. And just in the same way, the glories of the devil have not yet been revealed, but they will be. They will be. It'll come out. Don't worry. God will orchestrate it. He will allow it at the end, and it's going to come out. The throne of the beast, where the beast reigns, is going to be judged. In Ezekiel 14, it says, "These men have set up idols in their heart, and the stumbling block of iniquity," the stumbling block that leads to iniquity. They've put idols in their heart so that there's no possible way except that they will stumble. Once a person has accepted the rule of the devil, there's no possible way out. They're going to stumble. They're walking on the way to hell. Therefore, let's turn to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, it says here in verse 15, why don't we start in verse 12? Verse 12, it says, "Therefore," now this is an application to us, "therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust." The Antichrist kingdom is judged in the fifth trumpet, but the beast, where he really rules, is in your heart, in that bottomless, the other bottomless pit. But we are not to let him reign. When we are a believer, we do not let the devil reign in our heart. We don't let the beast have his kingdom within us. What would be the result of letting the beast have his kingdom with us? You obey the lust. When you feel lazy, when you feel like answering back to someone, when you feel, you know, like cheating, or when you feel like stealing, just understand what you're doing. You're giving place to the devil. It's not just, I'm a bit weak. It's not just, I've been very good today. I just have a bit of fun, or I'm just let go a little bit. You're giving place to the devil. You're letting the devil reign in you. Is that what you want? You want the Antichrist to reign in you? Verse 13, "And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. So in the same way, what we see ultimately in the book of Revelation is a reality today. There are people whose bottomless pit is indwelt by the devil. The devil is in their heart, and he's allowed to reign freely within them. And the result of that is that they are fulfilling their lusts, unrestrained. There's no block on it. They don't try to what should we be trying to do? Let's go back a little bit and have a look at verse 5. If we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be with the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old body, our old self, was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Okay. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all. For the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So let's have a look. In the terms of the Christian life, what we're doing is we're binding up, locking the bottomless pit. Where is Satan bound in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 3? He's bound in the bottomless pit. He cannot get out of the bottomless pit. He's in the bottomless pit, but while he's in the bottomless pit, what will the world be enjoying? 1,000 years of peace. 1,000 years of heaven on earth. 1,000 years of the millennium. So therefore, what is the Christian life supposed to be? A foretaste, not obviously the ultimate, but a foretaste. The Christian life is supposed to be a taste of the millennium. Satan is bound. How is Satan bound? Well, he's bound to the cross. He's crucified. We are nailed to the cross. Therefore, the old man, the old bottomless pit, is bound and it cannot get out. Well, you can do that. You can bind the bottomless pit. Why can we do it? Because Paul commands us to do it. We can do it. By the Spirit of God, what does it say in Romans 8? It says in chapter 8, verse 9, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Okay. Where is it? That's not the one I was trying to look at. Where is that one? It says, if we by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the flesh. I think it's around here somewhere. Can you see that verse?
I think it's just a little bit below what you were reading, Jeff.
Oh, was it? What verse?
Romans 8:12.
Oh, 8:12, was it? Oh, yeah, that's it. Thanks. Oh, verse 11. 11, is it? Oh, no, yeah, 13. Yeah, okay, thanks, Jeremy. Yeah, I knew it was there somewhere. Yeah, 13. If you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. In other words, we can do it. By the Spirit of God, right? Whatever is bound in heaven is bound on the earth. I suppose that principle applies to this too. If by the Spirit of God we put to death the deeds of the flesh, then it can be done. And therefore, that's what we should do. We're commanded to do it. Do not let the devil, don't let the Antichrist rule in you. But guess what? If you don't kill the old man, if you don't put to death the old man, in other words, if you don't hold back the cursing, if you don't hold back the evil thoughts, the adulterous thoughts, do you know you're evil beyond imagination? Don't be surprised when you think horrible things about people. That's just what's in you coming out. But Christ has already judged that, and you are born again, right? So don't get stressed out about having evil thoughts. Don't get stressed out about thinking horrible things. you just suppress it. You just say, that's the old man. He's gone to hell anyway. Forget about him. I'm living in the new man. You know, I remember when I was first saved, there was a kid, one of my friends, and he just couldn't get over the fact that he was a Christian, and yet he still, the homosexual thoughts keep coming to him. Now, he grew up in a house where his dad used to watch, you know, the Rocky Horror Show and all that. Yeah, some of us know what that is. The depth of Satan, Stephen knows, obviously. But it's a horrible drag queen show. But his dad watched it when he was a little kid, and obviously then it affected him. And through the rest of his life, he ended up becoming gay. But he said, it was a dilemma to him, because I'm a Christian, and yet I still have these evil thoughts. And to him, that was unacceptable and intolerable. And so he left his faith, if he ever had it. But unfortunately, he didn't understand this truth. You will never be any less evil than you are. The idea is you just put to death the evil. There is a new person in you. You live in that person, right? So don't get stressed out about it. Just say, yeah, that's why Jesus died. So quickly, put it to death and get on with it. Just get up and walk, right? Christ has already redeemed us. Christ is alive. He's in us. Therefore, we put to death the evil of the flesh. And don't be surprised then, therefore, if you see it in other people. Right? If other people but he's supposed to be a Christian. Well, yeah, but he's a Christian who's got the bottomless pit within his heart. And sometimes he's not careful to put the lid on. Right? Have you ever grown up in a house and sometimes, you know, kids are not careful to flush the toilet? Sometimes, you know, it's horrible, isn't it? What do you do? Just flush it. No, just, it's gone. Okay. Within a few minutes, this smell will be gone, and don't worry about it. You can all get on with life. It's the same idea, right? When people sin against us, we don't hold a grudge. We just say, that's his bottomless pit. He left the lid off. Oh, well. Deal with it. Forgive. Forget. That's supposed to be put on the cross. We're supposed to get on with it, right? So we shouldn't carry the sins and the burdens of other people, you know, in a grudge sense. And we shouldn't carry the sins and the burdens of our own bottomless pit heart. We should just put them to death and get on with it. That's the idea. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, there's one more section after this. So I'll just say that in Japanese. Okay. じゃあ次のところに進みます。Okay. じゃあ、悪魔はどこから始まったんでしょう。じゃあ目視を11章7節をまた見ましょう。目視17章1節7節、すみません、目視11章7節、前読みましたけど、この獣のところです。はい、目視11章7節。そして彼ら、それは2人の証人が証を終えると、底知れぬところから登ってくる獣が彼らと戦って勝ち、彼らを殺すということ。OK。 獣がその底知れぬ穴にいる。そして目視16章見てください。16章第5のラッパでは即知るぬ穴が開かれた。しかしここでは第5の8の時にどうなるでしょう。10節、目視16章の10節、第五の御使いが蜂を獣の座にぶちまけた。すると獣の国は暗くなり、人々は苦しみのあまりで舌を噛んだ。そしてその苦しみと腫れ物とのゆえに、天の神に対して怪我しごとを言い、自分の屋内を悔やるな悔やるためようとしなかったということ。じゃあ 獣がいる底知れぬところは獣の座と書いてます。獣の座、獣が王として支配するところ、獣の国とも言われています。しかし人間の心だというと、じゃあ私たちの底知れぬ穴は心、そしてサタン、獣、反キリストは私たちの心で収めているということ、未信者だな。その時にいる人たちはその心の中に獣が支配していた、そういうことです。エゼキエル14章、エゼキエル14章を少し見てみると、The bottomless pit was open. そしてエゼキエル14章では3節、人の子よ、彼らの者たちは自分たちの偶像を心の中に秘め、自分たちの不義に引き込むものを顔の前に置いている。私はどうして彼らの願いを聞いてやろうか。じゃあ心の中で偶像をつけました。結局獣、その最終的な偶像は私たちの心の中に拝められるという原則です。はい、じゃあそしたら私たちの心に悪魔を収めさせてはなりませんということ。じゃあローマ6章見てください。ローマ6章の12節、ですからあなた方の死ぬべき体のを罪の支配に委ねて、その情欲に従ってはいけません。その支配に委ねて、はい、じゃあ同じですねと英語 と言い方が違うけど、そう、その悪魔、心の中で悪魔を支配させてはならないということ、あなた方の死ぬべき体を罪の支配に委ねて、その情欲に従ってはいけません。自分の情欲に従うというのは獣が自分の心で治めているという証拠です。13節、またあなた方の手足を不義の器として罪に捧げてはいけません。むしろ死者の中から生かされたものとして、あなた方自身とその手足を義の器として神に捧げなさいということ。というのは罪は、悪魔は、獣はあなた方を支配することがないからです。なぜならあなた方は律法の下にはなく恵みの下にあるからです。じゃあ未信者の場合は自分の情欲に従っていくときどういうことでしょう。それは悪魔が自分の心で治めているわけです。そしてその人の悪が中にありますけど、まだ完全に現れていないだけ。しかしあります。やがてそれが全部現れる。それは終わりの日。神様は私たちの中で治めている。イエス様は天の御国はあなたの中にあると書いています。そして神様の御国の技はまだ完全に現れてない。神様はあなたを通してどんな素晴らしい行いを鳴らすかまだ公にされてない。しかしやがてそういう栄光はあなたを通しても現される。逆に 未真珠の場合はそれは隣にいる優しいお姉ちゃんとかそういう人ではなくて、未真珠なら実はまあ外面的には優しそうだけど中には即知れぬ穴があります。その中の悪が今現れてないだけ、しかし入ってます。その人でも自分が本人がどれだけ悪いかを自分では分からない。まあたまには戦争の中でなんで人間はあんなひどいことができるのかこの間沈黙の映画で日本人が長崎でやったその拷問、人はどういうふうにそんなひどいことができるかね、どういうふうにできるでしょう、なんでできるでしょう。それは心は底知れぬ地獄のような穴です。その中にあらゆる悪が閉じ込まれている。しかし公に釈放される現れる時が来るでしょう。神様はそのように裁きます。 OK、 じゃあ続けていくと、じゃあ私たちはどのように罪を支配させないことでしょう。じゃあローマ6章の5節から、もし私たちがキリストに継ぎ合わされてキリストの死と同じようになっているのなら、必ずキリストの復活とも同じようになるからです。 OK、 じゃあ今はその状態です。イエスの復活もとつながっている。私たちの古い人はキリストと共に十字架につけられたのは、じゃあ私たちはイエスと共に十字架につけられた、それは古い人間、罪の体が滅びて、私たちがもはやこれからは罪の奴隷ではなくなるためであることを私たちは知っています。前は罪の奴隷だった、今はそうではない。死んでしまった者は罪から解放されているのです。もし私たちがキリストと共に死んだのであれば、キリストと共に生きるともなると信じます。キリストは死者の中から蘇って、もはや死ぬことはなく、死はもはやキリストを支配しないことを私たちは知っています。私たちには同じです。なぜならキリストが死なれたのはただ一度罪に対して死なれたのであり、キリストが生きておられるのは神に対して生きておられるのだからです。このようにあなた方にも自分の罪に対して死んだものであり、神に対してはキリストイエスにあって生きたものだと思いなさい、ということというのはね、信者たちにはこんな状態です。自分の心はひどい、自分の心は測ることができないほどひどいので、ためにはそれが現れるでしょう。自分の中で現れるね、表情から出なくてもいいけど自分の中では現れることはあります。ひどい考え、ひどい侮辱、ひどい冒涜的な考え、不信仰な考え、不貧困の考え、たくさん出ます。呪いが頭に浮かびます。その時がある。どうするでしょう。その時に止めよう、十字架につけよう、そしてそれは古い人間だ、あの人は縛られているべきだ、そして縛る。問題はありますか？問題がない。なぜならすでにその人が裁かれた、イエスと共に十字架につけられたので、それがあったからといって私たちは落ち込む必要はない。進んで歩みましょう。あなたは救われている。あなたの中にあんなひどい悪があっても大丈夫です。あなたは救われている。なぜならこの体が最終的になくなるまでそれはまだ続きます。だから 落ち込むわけはない。あの僕の最初にキリストについて言ったあの導いたあの友達は結局ちっちゃい時に同性愛のなんか劇のビデオをよくお父さんと見てて、でその影響かわからないけど多分その影響で彼はずっとあの同性愛の思いがついてしまった。でクリスチャンになった時はそれはすごい矛盾で我慢できなかった。でクリスチャンなのになんでこんな思いがある、まあ、まるで精霊が働いてないように考えていたけど、この原則は理解できなかった。はい、そのひどい罪があるけどあなたは救われている、だからあの十字架につけよう、そして進もうということ、死ぬまで それを続けます。まあ、現れは人によりますけど、あのでも現れごとに十字架につけて歩もう、問題ない。そして他の人には同じです。他の人の、 あの底知れぬ穴から出てくる悪が現れるときにどうするんですか。まあどんな家に入ってもたまにはトイレはあの悪い香りはあります。どうする。まあ、あの換気性能をつけてあの1分待ちます。そして問題がなくなります。じゃあ他のクリスチャンの罪が現れるときにそのように考えましょう。あ、それはあの人の私ぐらいあの測ることのできないあの底知らぬあの穴が少し開けられた。じゃあ、 あの蓋にしてあの進みましょうということ。自分の罪が現れるときそれを十字架につける、他の人の罪が現れるときに、まあ、古い人間は裁かれるべきだ、でも新しい人間があるからそれを注目していきましょう。あ、まあ、パウロはそのようにあの考えています。罪に、あの罪の支配をあの許さないということ。 OK, じゃあ最後のポイントになります。 Okay, so we've come to the final thing. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 5 and 6, it says that they couldn't die. Let's have a look at it. Revelation chapter 9. In the fifth trumpet, the people could not die. But if we look at verse 5 and 6, and they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. I've never been stung by a scorpion, so I can't expound on that. And in those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. So we have these two things. In the day that the 5 months. In those 5 months, when the torment is there, people will want to die but not be able to. Well, 5 months, if we compare other places in the Bible where we see 5 months, it's in the flood of Noah. In Genesis chapter 8 verse 3, it says the water was on the earth for 150 days, and if you look at the dates in the calendar which appear in Genesis, you find that it's exactly 150 days, exactly 5 months. Okay, because it says from the second month to the seventh month. So it's 5 months, 150 days. That water which came in the flood corresponds to this darkness, this period of judgment in the book of Revelation. And it says that the thought of their heart was only evil continually. The heart of man is desperately wicked. It's evil continually. And only Noah would deal with it. The other people would not deal with it. The other people were not willing to die. They didn't want to die. They didn't want to put the old man to death. They wanted that evil thought. They just wanted to hang on to it. Now you know it in your life. When you have an evil thought about somebody, you can either stop it or you can just enjoy it and continue with it and play with it and try to look at it from different perspectives. You can justify it. What you're doing then is you're giving the devil free rein, and you're not putting the old man on the cross. When you have, when the God speaks to you about a sin, if you don't deal with it, what are you doing? You're playing with it. You're allowing it. You're giving the devil free rein. And you're not allowing the old man to be put on the cross. We're supposed to be doing this. Now, there is a judgment on those who will not put the old man to death. The judgment is that there will come a time when their people will be so bad that they will want to die, but they won't be able to. Now, we should die in the old man, but we don't want to. The judgment is that ultimately things will get so bad, people will want to die, but they won't be able to. And that's the judgment that comes. Just as God knew, he searched the heart, he tried the reins, he gives every man according to their works. If you don't want to die, all right, I'll stop you from dying. If you don't want to stop that evil thought, I'll make sure that you can never stop it. If you don't want to close that mouth, I'll make sure that you can never close it. In Revelation 16, the judgment says they gnawed their tongues with pain. The judgment was upon their tongue. James, it says the tongue is set on fire by hell. The stuff that comes out of our mouth is a revelation of hell. And if we don't rein it in, if we don't rein that fire in and reign over it, if we let it rule us, then God's judgment comes to that tongue. We gnaw our tongues in pain, there is burning heat, and we're not able to die anymore. Right now, you can. You can put to death the deeds of the flesh, but in those days you wouldn't be able to. Okay. It says they have stings in their tails. In Ezekiel chapter 14, it says of those people who set up the idols in their hearts that God says, I will answer them according to their idols. So, those who worship the Antichrist and allow him to be set up in their heart, the beast, or the image of the beast, God will speak to them according to their idol and send them the false prophet. They have stings in their tails. Romans 3:12-16 talks about that. Romans 3:12-16. Just put a few scriptures together to try and understand this aspect. The stings are in their tails. Romans 3:12, it says, all have turned aside. Together they've become useless. There's none who does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their paths. The path of peace they haven't known. There's no fear of God before their eyes.